Before we can, I can continue. I want to tell us something that will help us. I was sharing with Pastor Victor today. I said, you know, not every pastor will go to heaven. Not every pastor will go to what? Heaven. And not every person who goes to church is going to heaven. Not everybody who comes to this church is going to heaven. Sorry, but that's a fact. Not every pastor will go to heaven. Not everybody who dresses up on Sunday morning is going to heaven. Because Jesus said on the last day, some people will come and say, we ate with you, we walk with you, we cast out devils in your name. But Jesus will say, I never what? I didn't know you at all. Listen to me, church. You must make effort to open your heart for Christ to walk in it. If you think that church is a casual thing, you are putting yourself in a terrible predicament. Church is not a casual thing. God is not a casual thing. Jesus is not a casual thing. We live in a time that there is tremendous pressure on the truth for people to deny it and trivialize it and look down on it. We look in a time when even the church, all they talk about is anointing and power. There's no much emphasis on the truth. I read in the from the news yesterday that a big church in London, for their big church, they were reading Quran in their service. And their big monarch was presiding. And then that was a service they say was Epiphany or whatever. They read from the Quran, this is church that God has no son. This is church. And one of their pastors resigned immediately. He said, I don't want to backslide from my faith. But I'm telling you people the truth. And the man said that there's a movement called political correctness. He said, that's a religion. He said, there's another movement, there are other religions. He said, this political correctness thing, it's a religion, and the people who worship there are so fervent in what they believe. He said, we Christians must be fervent in what? What we believe. He said, I'm not going to sit there and let anybody open his mouth in the body of Christ, in the church of Jesus, and say God has no son. When the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. This was read in a church service in London on television. Oh, they say we want to be all inclusive, correct, political correctness. It's not every pastor that is going to heaven. And it's not everybody that enters church is going to heaven. You need to know the time in which we live is perilous times. There's a lot of demonic doctrine out there. There's a lot of pressure from the devil to take as many people to hell as he can. But you that come to church and sit here, when we are how much reception do you give to the word of God? When it corrects you, do you accept it? How much, or is your heart hardened so much so in arrogance you don't want to hear God? Don't you understand what you are doing to yourself? He said, the meek, he will show the way. If you say you want to worship Jesus, worship him with all your what? Heart. Take his word in. Stop being wise in your own eyes. It will destroy you. I'm not cursing you. I'm telling you it is a fact. The world in which we live now is too so dangerous. See, the bishop that is selling his church to us told me, he said, Pastor, I had one of my members was in the church just worshiping God. Worshiping God. Worshiping God. He said the next morning also, Chris was there. He said, I had a phone call, he was dead. Chris was there, Chris Onyechi was there. He was dead. Chris, you were there. He said, I was just worshiping all over the state. Didn't know he was getting ready to leave this earth. What Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain this whole world and lose his soul? Why do we think that this life is in our country, in our pocket? What do you gain by stubbornness? What do you gain by stubbornness? What do you gain by playing games with yourself? God said, you can't mock me. See, instead, you'll be mocking yourself. God said, you can't mock me. You think you're mocking me? You're not mocking me. You're mocking yourself. What do we gain by all this kind of rubbish? The scripture says, if God be God, do what? Serve him. If you don't want to serve him, do what? Stop. Revelation 3:14. Well, I'm going back to again. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one of the other, or the other. 16, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also, buy white garments from me, so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness. And ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. Last week we were talking about this lukewarm church. And God will let me move on. He said, go back there. That's why I couldn't come for the praise worship. I was up there. I said, go back there. This is a church that the devil has maneuvered into complacency. Maneuvered their thinking into complacency. Every single time you think you are self-sufficient, you will not see the need of God again. You go into complacency because it is what you think has value for you, you go for. We always have passion for the things that we think is helping us. Once the devil maneuvers you where you are self-sufficient, where you think I have made it, I'm a good Christian now, you know, serve God, I'm serving Jesus, I'm doing this. And then you think, you look at yourself and you become your own sufficiency. You become your own measurement. Jesus begins to recede from your eye. You won't see the need of him anymore. And that's when lukewarmness sets in. You can be all over the church and still be lukewarm in your heart. When you are not focusing on Christ no more, they say out of sight is what? Out of mind. You are going to become lukewarm. When you are focusing on yourself or your problems you have, believe you, you are going to be lukewarm. The excitement will go. And sometimes, you know, we think, man, if you see how much I'm serving God, you know, like I'm a pastor, I've got to think, you know, all the sacrifices you make and all the things you do, that can lead you to lukewarmness. Where you take the place of the Spirit of God in your life, and instead of giving God the glory and knowing it's a privilege that God is even using you to do things. You think you are the one now, what? Doing it, and what need do you have of God anymore? Without need of him, because you are doing, see how much I'm doing in this church. I'm the one doing this. I'm the one. And the devil begins to give you list and list of what you are doing, and then you become self-important. Shift to your own glory. The glory of God means nothing. You know what Jesus said? He said, I don't seek my own what? Glory. So I seek the glory that comes from God alone. So I keep focusing on my Father. He's my focus because it is the glory he gives I'm after. 24/7 I'm focusing on. Even they came to him and said, you are a good master. You see how good you say, don't give me that crap. Say, one is good. Only who? Only God. Say, don't give me that. I don't want it. He is the one. I look unto my Father all the time. Whatever you see do, it's my Father doing it. How could such a thinking, how could such a person ever be lukewarm towards the Father? Not possible. There's a church we read to the, I read to the leaders on Friday, Saturday also. Friday we met him. In Revelation 2 from verse 1, about the Ephesians church. These people were so impressed by their performance. Ephesians church. They were so impressed by their performance, they stopped listening to God. Completely. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. The one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard. I hope we have our Bibles too. Because if we don't have, I stop this television thing. You must come to church with your what? Okay, lift up your Bible, whether it's at electronic or don't show me cell phone. Lift your Bible, let me see. See, lift it up, I want it. Look at me, lift it up, I want it. What? Everybody should have Bible. Put it down. Don't show me cell phone. Because cell phone, maybe it's because you came to church calling your friends, you're lifting your cell phone up. You must come to church with your own what? Bible. You must come to church. If I'm pastoring you, if I'm your pastor, this is an instruction. You must enter here with your own what? Bible. Whether it is electronic or book, but come in with your own Bible. So that during the Sunday school, you're able to follow what is going on. And make sure you buy Bibles for your children. And make sure they read them. Make sure, parents, have you an idea what battle is going on in this country between you and those people in the school? Do you know what they teach your children behind you? Alternative families and all those kind of junk. And you keep quiet. My son Ugo told me, he said, Daddy, he said, do you see the bus stop? I said, yeah. He said, they sell drugs across it. Say every morning, all these children here go and buy drugs across there. My boy is there, right? Remember? Yeah. He said, they buy drugs. He said, Daddy, they buy it. He said, in classes, they try to give. He said, I don't touch stuff like that. You have no idea what you are up against. He told me. He said, Daddy, I'll show you where. He said, that bus. Every man, he said, Daddy, I'm waiting for you to take me to school. And you come and bring me back. I took him to school 12 years. So I want you to take. Everyone, Dad, I say, yeah, I'm ready. I say, I'm ready too. We are fighting. You people have no idea. When they ruin your child, guess who is the first victim? You! He's coming back to your house with red eyes. I'm not laughing. This is serious. You haven't seen headache until you have trouble with your child. Until your child threatens to kill you. Then you know you would have listened to when I was telling you this. Even all of you that are youths, you better grow in the Lord. Get ready to train your own children. It is so now. Who knows how it will be 20 years to come? You are young people that are still going to marry and raise children in those 20 years to come. Shouldn't you be grounded yet now? Get yourself ready now. Arm yourself now. And get ready to train your children. It's a battle. Go and ask parents. The child that used to be, all of a sudden, the child twists, turns around. If they take your child from you, do you have a greater investment in this life? So why is it that when he's coming to church, you don't give him Bible? You give him game to be playing. And you are destroying him, teaching him that this is a place to play. Is that wisdom? What are you doing? What are you doing? Do you know what you are doing? The precious gift God gave to you, you are handing over to the devil. And pretending you don't know what you are doing. You know, some of you parents, you do what you do, pretend you don't know what you are doing. Introduce your children to immorality and stuff. And you pretend you don't know what you are. Pretend. God said, you can't mock me. Whatsoever a man saw it. Be pretending. Be pretending. Am I still your pastor? Yeah. I'm going nowhere. You didn't call me here. Praise the Lord. I'm going what? Nowhere. I'm stuck with you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Get them Bible. Get them Bible. Make sure you read it in the house. Pray with them. That's the opportunity you have to sow your own seed there. So that's what. Don't give up. No. So, if you don't, they will sow their own. So, you sow your own. My wife will say, Ugo, we have to pray. Ugo say, Mommy, my boss is going. My wife is there. Father, I give you praise. The boy is going. He said, Mom, share the grace. He said, Mom, boss is there. By the grace of our Lord, the boy is at the gate. Thank God for Christian mothers. Man, you can't. You don't touch their baby. They know how to tie their wrapper. I said, you touch my boy, I show you trouble. Satan, you don't touch my kid. Are you crazy, devil? You don't. Thank God for Christian mothers who know how to fight the fight of faith. So I'm not losing what God has given me. That which I've received, hold fast. I received this boy 9 months here. 9 months. Satan, you don't take my baby from me. Are you crazy? Not fickle-minded, lukewarm, half-hearted, don't know what you're doing, blaming everybody, save themselves. Bible did. They don't read Bible. They don't know what they're doing. Nothing. Looking for anointing. Anointing. Where's anointing? Is there? I'm looking for anointing. Why did God say look for anointing? Tell me why God said look for anointing. God is just changing my sermon. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. So Revelation 2. This is a church in Ephesus. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand. The one who walks among the 7 gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. Nothing is hidden from me. You go to read for scripture, yeah, and I know everything you do. Thank you, God bless you. I don't even have time here, which is awesome. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered their liars. So, in that church, if they're false apostles, they won't let you minister. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. So, I didn't start it. It's been there before I came along. And they continue. Somebody say amen. Yeah, you don't walk in here and tell me you're a pastor. I want to make sure you're a pastor. God, report me. Say that pastor, he doesn't allow people. He does. Yes, I don't. Yes, because I'm answerable. He brought me here. I'm every soul that sits here. If I do anything to deceive them, Jesus said it were better you were not born. So you can't trick me into that. We check our spirits. Because all that glitters, oh yeah, yes. All you can do is go and talk. Talk doesn't cut, buddy. It's talk. I don't even care. I don't take notice of stuff like that. Do you think you have time to listen to the devil? No. The Bible said, my sheep hear my what? The voice of the stranger. They will not hear. I don't hear it. I don't have time for that. So here, he says in verse 3, you have patiently suffered for me without quitting, but I have this complaint against you. How can this church, how can God have complaint against such a wonderful church that have done all these things? So I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Oh, so with all these things, we think they love God. God said, no, you don't love me again. And God told them, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me. Really? So they're backsliding from him. Say, you turn back what? To me. And do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. I will quit giving you revelation. If you don't stop that. How did this church with all this marvelous resume come to this stage? They are no more listening to God. You know, you can serve God and come to a point where you think, I have this position here. I have this here. I've been here 20 years. And I've been doing this. You won't listen to people again. It will be hard to teach you. That's why they got them. It will be hard to teach you. Because you think, I know. Once somebody starts preaching, the pride in your life rises. So I put your hand like this. Got him like this. Wow. It's okay. Maybe I'll listen to him a little. I've been around. I'm a secretary general. That's what where they arrived. And God said, you don't love me anymore. Your heart is falling from me. In fact, if you read some translation, it says you have fallen. You have what? Fallen. And why did they fall? How did I know? Because the scripture makes it clear that if God removes revelation from you, it's because you are not listening to him. That's one reason God will remove revelation from you. Once you see God say, I'm going to remove the lamp, it's because you are not listening to him. Because you are rebellious. That's what he did to the devil. He removed light from him. So the devil is utter darkness. Look at Luke chapter 8. 18, New Living Translation. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be what? Taken away from. That's where they got to. Jesus said, I'm coming to take away even that which you understood. You're not listening to me. You don't love me no more. And if you read the book of Corinthians, he said, you can burn yourself. You can. People have done that. People carry bomb and kill themselves in the name of God. He said, you can do all of that. But if you still don't love, it is what? Not. So the heart of man, So this church came to a point where, because they were doing so well, so they became important. So now God couldn't even talk to them. You know, sometimes even your pastor can't even talk to you again. Yeah, he can't talk to you again because you've been around. You know what they're doing. That's why I'm not calling anybody deacon in this church. Because the ones they called them, they're still fighting over it. I don't want more trouble. Some of them are fighting over Dickie. You didn't call them deacon in meeting, the fight. So what do you want me to add more trouble by calling more people deacon so there'll be more fight? You are not a deacon. I'm a brother. You are a brother. The Bible says you are all brethren. That's what we are. At least so we can focus on Jesus and make heaven. Praise the Lord. When you get to heaven, let Jesus give you deacon. You can answer it there. But I'm telling the truth. Say, my resume. One of them went to the temple. He said, God, let me give you my resume. He said, look, I fast, I do this, and I'm not like these other people. God says, I resist such people every day. So I'm not going to give you revelation. The one you have, I'm going to what? Stuff yourself. It's a debasing of the glory of the truth to reduce the truth of God to human wisdom and nonsense. It's a debasing. Go and read the book of Romans. It's a debasing of the glory of his word to reduce it. To reduce it to that level of human nonsense. And so Jesus said, I'm now standing at the door, I'm knocking. If you open, I'll come. If you don't open, I'm still here knocking. Which means they were not listening to him. That's why he said, I keep knocking. Bam, I'm here. How does he knock? With his word, he keeps bringing it. He said, you can open your heart or you can close it to my word. But I'll still keep what? Knocking. They were not listening to him. They've arrived. Senior pastor. Hey, can you senior pastor? How can you teach him? If you get to that point in your life, it is a dangerous place to go. I've said it here before. If you get to a point in your life where nobody can talk to you, it's a very dangerous place because the thing they will tell you to save you, you will hear. But the consequences will finally come. Will finally come. They say life is well. They say those that the gods want to destroy. The first thing they do is close their ears. When Stephen was preaching, you know the first thing they did? They closed their ears and rushed and committed murder. They closed their ears, then rushed and killed him. They didn't want to hear what would change their heart. You know it's your life. It's your life now. It's your life. If you like, do it the way you like. See, if you like that, any hand you choose, put. But if he pays that hand, not my own. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And God began to give them recipe for the situation in which they were. In that Revelation chapter 3 verse 17. Ezobikara. It's a big car. Okay, let him come. Revelation chapter 3, verse what? You say, I am rich. Can you give me a signal when I'm talking? You say, I am what? Rich, I have everything I want. And you don't realize that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. So God says your condition is miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. So I advise you. So here is his advice, which is the recipe to all that kind of stuff. So I advise you to buy from me, buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire, then you will be what? Rich. So the first thing God says, you got to go and buy gold from me that has been purified by fire. Do you know anything the Bible said is purified by fire? Huh? His word. So it comes out brighter, better than gold. So God is saying, you need to go and to my word and get wisdom. You are acting foolishly. you need to get back to my word. Brethren, it's time to get back to the word of God. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
It is time that you take the word of God very seriously, more than you are taking it now. It's time to roll up your sleeve and be there where the word of God is being taught. It's time to throw your pride somewhere and go sit down and be taught. It's time. It's time. You can't look down on the life center because you think you're too important. It's for studies. Too important. You can't look down on the Sunday school and think, I'm too big for Sunday school. It's pride. That's what I'm talking about. Why do you think Sunday school is below you? Why? Give me one reason. If that is not pride of heart, tell me what it is. Is there humility? Isn't it what I've been talking here? Maybe because you think I know it all. Maybe because you think I've been a Christian now. That's exactly what they were thinking. And God said, your heart is falling from me. You don't have love for me anymore. Look, I'm married. So those of you who are not married, you may not understand. If you understand, you have to explain to me how. When you love, your attention is there. You want to be there. All your heart is there. If you love Jesus, you can't miss his meeting. I'm not kidding you. You can't miss his meeting. If Jesus said, I want you to be at that Sunday school. Every lover delights in doing what the loved one wants. If I love Muhammad, and Muhammad comes to me and says, Pastor, I need a tie. Guess what? I'll give him a tie even if it's the last night. That's why God says, you serve me through love. Don't serve me by unwillingness. Serve me with Paul said the love of God controls what I do. Love is the purest motive for doing something. And it's the one that's accepted by God. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Doing things out of obligation will weary you. You come to a point and say, but I've been doing since. I'm doing it. I'm no more doing the way I did in college. In fact, let me even tell you, even those words I did, can I have them back? It's obligation. But the Bible said that love does not give up. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Love does not what? Give up. It endures all things. Believe it. All things, and is the greatest of all of them. If you love Jesus, you can't be too important for Life Center. Where they are doing the job of Jesus, serving Jesus, you'll be so excited to be there. Very, very excited and giving your all. Are you kidding me? When you were going to marry your wife, what were you doing? Were you not going there morning, afternoon? When I snow, you go there and tell them it doesn't matter. You know, they say, oh, you came on snow. You say, no, it's okay. I mean, it's okay. And it wasn't really much. It wasn't much. I could come. It's okay. No problem at all. After 15 years, go and see your in-laws. I've been seeing them since now. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't go to Life Center because Pastor said. It's because you love Jesus. You get involved in his business because of it. You are constrained by the love you have for him. Even if you know too much, you want to help others. Even your presence there is to promote his work. Walking there and sit down there makes others want to what? Come and sit down. You see the banner of Jesus being lifted up. Standing up for Jesus, you stand for him. If you love him, you do these things. Nobody pushes you. I've said it here. Let me say it again. When I got saved, I wasn't waiting for people to visit me. My wife and I were on the street looking for Life Center. We were. We didn't know where I was. We were on the street asking people, please, where does this church have Life Center? The love of Jesus filled up. The salvation we got. Man, we couldn't believe this was so sweet, so good. It was so good. We were on the street asking people. All we had was, they're having Life Center. So that was it. I didn't know it. Ask her. And from that point till we left Lagos, never been pushed. We were in it. Come rain, come sunshine. I remember walking to go and conduct lesson. Remember walking. Distance. Distance. I remember going with fever. Hot fever. My mouth. I will stand up. I said, no. You can't stop me. I'm going to serve Jesus. And immediately I'll come there and sit on that seat. That fever will pew, go. The end of it. I'm telling people what I've seen. I'm not teaching you theory. It works. If you love Jesus, they won't push you. The love of God will make you do stuff far above your ability. The Bible talks of this church. It says they gave far and above their ability. It's time to go back to the Word of God. Study it. You want to hear your lover. If your lover visits you and starts talking, okay, let me even expose some things. You know, all this phone call that some of us make, you don't get off the phone 2 hours. And they say, okay, you say bye-bye to me. Me, I say bye-bye to you. So you say bye-bye. Okay, no, you say, we repeat, bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. 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 But I didn't even hear your bye-bye. Repeat it again. Once you start avoiding somebody's company, you don't love them. If you love somebody, you enjoy their fellowship. When you are in their presence, it's like, this is the world for me. You don't want to go. You don't want to go. You don't want to go. Everything they say, you are laughing. Whatever they say is good. Prove me wrong. Somebody else says it. You say, my friend, stop abusing me. What kind of thing is this? Is it because I came to your house? Right? There's one product they advertised. The product, they said, they were showing how good the product is. So somebody uses it. And this person came to the office. And then he was throwing things at people. And he threw that. And they look at him and say, oh, it's Sam. They will laugh. And then throw another, they say, oh, it's Sam, because he uses the product. So another person who doesn't use the product, we throw, war will break out. What they were trying to show from that graph term is that if you use this, people love you for it. Brethren, I want you to tell me how you say you love Jesus and you don't enjoy his company. It's not possible. It's not possible. What did David say? I was glad when they said, let us go into the house. He said, I was glad. I was happy. This man loved God. He loved God. You will know it. If I'm a woman and you say you want to marry me, you love me. And you are not showing distance. You are not marrying me. Pashakam. You are not hot at the beginning. How will you be hot after I have treated you? It's now I want to see everything. If you come to look for me, I'm not there. You need to come 3 more times. Then I know it's important to you. Yeah, don't come and tell me I love you on paper. Action speaks. Do we really love Jesus? I don't want words only. What is the action? I've said it here before. If you say to God, I have faith, you know what God will say? Show me. I'm not kidding. Show me. I want to what? Yeah. Show me. You love me. Show me. You don't pay your tithe. You can't give God money. Nothing. Nothing. Lovers give. For God so loved. Lovers give. You are moved by that thing called, you give. You don't even, oh, Jesus of Nazareth. Am I not married? Lover, they give. You don't remind me to give to my wife. You don't remind me. She will tell you. Anywhere you are, you're thinking of this will be good for her. You bite. Something is moving you. It's called love. Don't go and be saying, but you know I love you now. You know I love you. And then her birthday comes and goes. Christmas comes and goes. January comes. February, March, till December. And I say, I love you. Love you, call, love you, Nick. Love you, call, love you, Nick. Go and sit down. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? The best. He said, love me the way, love people the way I love you. Love people the way I love you. Give too, like I give. So we need to buy gold. Praise the Lord. Sorry, some of these things are man-made. They do their best. Sometimes it doesn't work. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? So God says, you got to buy gold. You got to go buy my gold. You need to buy it. It's important that you pay the price for it. That's what they mean buying. You got to spend your time. It will cost you something. It will inconvenience you because it's important to you. But you got to buy it. Amen? Now, which other one did he tell them? We're back in, what verse is the next one? What verse 18? Say, gold that has been purified by fire, then you will be rich. You see, the word of God gives you your riches in heaven, that God has for you. The real riches. I want to say something. I want you to hear me, please. Please, I want you to listen to me. Do you know you are very poor and somebody gives you $2 million? What will he do to your life? Your circumstance will immediately change. And everybody will know it within 1 week. Because you are not eating pizza. Now you are eating. Everybody will notice it. If you have $2 million now, everybody will notice it in 2 weeks. Your voice will change. Your steps will change. Your dressing will change. A lot of things will change. And that brings you to the glory of man. And that is true. I want you to listen to me. This is serious. That money changes your circumstance. That's why we keep looking for jobs now. So get more money. And you call for Bible studies. You get more money. So your status... We go to school for that. So that these riches of this world will put you in a place, in a status where your needs are made. And you, man, you drive a good car. You don't, Volkswagen, you might drive Volkswagen, I don't know. But you drive a good car and everything. Your glory changes. And if you go home, every wedding, you are the chairman. You know what? The riches of this world give you the glory of this world. But let me tell us something. There's the riches of God that gives you divine glory. It changes your position from misery to glory. And God is saying, you missed the point. He said, come to my word. Let me show you the real riches that will move you from your state of poverty and misery and put you to a place of real glory. And the church doesn't even know this. Because I was teaching it on Thursday, and how many of you were here to hear it? Because again, you don't need it. If you truncate these things, let me tell you, if you truncate the things of God, you are truncating something important for you. The devil is heartless. Oh, Jesus, that man is wicked. What he does to people, if he knows where you are going to benefit, to stop you from going there. He will fight tooth and nail. He can give you money to stop you from going to Bible studies. If he knows that thing will change your life. Because he knows if you get it correct here, every other thing will be what? Added. But he'll give you momentary something. Take you away from that thing. And then at the end of the day, when he sees you have succeeded, he takes that momentary something you're going to miss. Check. That's why God says, except the Lord builds. And he builds with his word. He says, don't forget the assembling of yourself, what? To get, as the manner of some. Do you think when God tells you something, you are wiser than him? You think he put it there for joke? You think you can be smarter than God? I said, look, this is what I want you to do. Don't do this. Don't forget this now. Be there. I put people in that church that will teach you and prepare you for ministry. Ministry is not just serving God. Ministry is part of what I'm saying. The things that God gives you so that others are blessed through you. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20, 20 what? Can somebody read it for me? Acts 20, 32. Anybody can read it for me. Okay, I have it here. And now I entrust you to God. And what? And now, brethren, I commit you. No, our destiny is back. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Now, it's back amplified. I don't want amplified. I'm reading New Living Translation. If it was spoil, I can read amplified. Okay. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace. And the message of his what? Grace. Church. The message of his what? Grace. Because all this inheritance, all these blessings, all these riches of God was given to us by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said the message that teaches you of his grace, that message is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with those he has set apart for himself. He gives you all your blessings. Those riches of God come from the message of the grace. Will you hear it? Are you not looking for anointing? Did it tell you come from anointing? Comes from the message of his grace. Message of his grace. Message of his grace. The Bible calls it the riches of his grace. Freely given to us as an act of divine mercy. So the next thing he told them to advise them to do is that they should buy white garment, not the white garment church. White garment from me, so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness. You know what that white garment means? That white garment is the righteousness that Christ gives us. If you don't have it, you can't be at the table of God. Because there's only one way to God. And that is through who? Christ. There's no two ways. You don't have another dress that brings you to God except faith in Christ. If you don't accept the righteousness of God that he gives you, what you are saying is that Jesus is not the only way to who? To God. Then you want to create your own way. Because righteousness is not a state, it's not a state of spiritual achievement. It's not a state of what? He said, now I have achieved righteousness. No. It's simply acceptance by God. A righteous thing is what God accepts. It's not a spiritual state of status that says, let me, until I become that righteous person. No, it is simply acceptance by God. So the only reason God will accept me or you is Jesus Christ. For nobody cometh to the Father except by him. When you want to walk your way into the presence of God, you are repudiating the cross and the way that God himself created for you, called the new and living way. You are repudiating and saying, I don't need that. I want to create my own way. You can't get to God. It's not going to work. And that's why the devil has maneuvered a lot of people, and they are frustrating themselves. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Have put on what? Christ. Look at Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly, King James Version, please. Okay, it's okay. Leave it. This is okay. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be what? Joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of what? Salvation. He has covered me with the robe of what? Righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornament, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Every time the scripture talks of righteousness, the next thing it talks about is what? I mean, salvation. The next thing you hear the scripture talk about is what? Righteousness. They go hand in hand. If you see the scripture talk about salvation, the next thing it's talking about is righteousness. Because it's saying, the same act of salvation is the same act that gives you acceptance by God. That's simple what they say. Look at Psalm 98 verse 2. I want us to read it together. King James Version, if you have it. Psalm 98 verse 2. The Lord, let's go. Want to go? The Lord has made known his what? Look at the next thing again. His righteousness had he openly showed in the sight of. He said he has made known his salvation, revealing his righteousness. Salvation and what? Righteousness. Salvation and what? Righteousness. When you get saved, you receive also, along with that, acceptance by God. He has made known salvation. And his, not your own. Say his own righteousness, which is given to you. You are being accepted because of what Christ did. That's why it's his own righteousness. It's what Christ did that makes us accepted to God. Do we agree on this? If we agree, say amen. Amen. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone. You see, it talks of salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, also for the Greek. Now, what's the next one it talks about? For in it, the what? The righteousness of God is. Remember, the psalmist says, you are revealing your salvation and making known your righteousness. So here he's talking about, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This righteousness that is given to us because of our faith in Christ, it says it's being revealed now. It wasn't revealed before, but it's being revealed now. Can I hear amen? Amen. Let me hear a bigger amen. Amen. Okay? So in the verse, Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Whatever the law says is saying to those under the law that every mouth may be what? Stopped. And all the world, you and me, may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is what? He says, because whatever the law says is telling to those to whom God has given it. But the law shows us that no flesh can boast before God. Why? For all have sinned. We have flunked the law. So we can't come before God boasting anymore. It's over. For me, for you, it's totally what? Over. The opportunity is gone. We can't. That's what he's saying here. Then in verse 21. But now. Everybody say, but now. Come on, say it loud, but now. Come on, say it loud, but now. The righteousness of God, apart from the law, is now revealed. Being witnessed by the law, in the prophet 22. Even the righteousness of God that comes through what? Faith in Jesus Christ. To how many? All. And upon how many? All who do what? Believe. For there's no difference here. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Being justified, how? Freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the day you got saved, God gave you the privilege of being righteous, of being accepted by him, so you can come. Why? Because Jesus is the way to God. If you believe in him, you can come to God. And then if you can't come to God, how will your life change? Who make it you to be different? Is he not God? So if you lock yourself out of coming, how will your life change? Didn't Jesus say that? He said, you don't want to come to me so they will have life, so I can change you. Praise the Lord. I want to show us something before I will stop. I want to move this thing again. What I showed you last Sunday, I didn't do it well. So I want to do it better now. Can I have a chair there? And I want you to watch what I'm doing. Mohammed, I'm going to give you promotion today. Put the chair where I was. Okay, you sit where you used to sit. Today is your promotion. Come now. Ah, he's doing like this. This is the model of what people think Christianity is. Please watch me. You should learn something. Daddy, come. Because you are wearing something like white. So we want to use you today. By your permission, sir. You know, honor is due you. We really need to respect you, sir. Come and stand there. Come over here, Daddy. Come over here. Stand here. Now, he is representing Jesus because he's wearing like white. Right? This is representing me and you. Right? The model of Christianity that people think is the model that says, ladies and gentlemen, this is our brother Muhammad. Brother Muhammad, you are to act. This is your script. All the commandments and what you should be doing. You have to act so that you please all these people and please him. Okay? Okay, so this is your stage. I'll go ahead and act. Okay, now, this is the model. Stand over there, let me show you. Now, he starts acting. He thinks, listen to this. He thinks his assignment is to please you. Because he has to be a good Christian. And we read the scripture. Let your light what? To him. So he's supposed to please all of us. And please him. Right? Come on, right? But Galatians 1:10 said, if you are a pleaser of men, you can't be servant of God. Which means his assignment is not really to please me. Galatians 1:10. Somebody read it from among you. Somebody read it there.
For do I now persuade men of God? Mm-hmm. Or do I seek to please men?
Do I seek to what? Please men. Go ahead.
For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
You see what? His purpose is not to please men. Because if he comes to please men, he becomes man pleaser. Now, because it's something impossible for him now, if he has any weakness or fails, he hides it from you. He can't admit it. He hides it. He won't want you to what? So it turns him into a hypocrite. He's hiding a lot of things because he doesn't want you to know, because he thinks his assignment is what? So now, he has a challenge that he can't. When God is coming, he hides it behind. Because he doesn't want God to what? See. Now there's more challenge. No? He can't. He carries burden that God didn't give him. He becomes a pretender. And pretty soon, he loses interest in him. Because he thinks he gave me an impossible task. And his heart begins to go cold. Because this is not working. See what I mean? Okay, let me show you another model. I want you to see which one is correct. This is another model. I come back here. This is Jesus. I come back here. This is God the Father. Your work is to trust him. Look unto what?
Him. Jesus.
Not this one. Look unto who?
Jesus.
And because all good things will come, he will give you eternal life. He will give you guidance. He will give you wisdom. You do all things through him. So he's your all. Don't take your eyes off him. When you look unto him, you please him. Because he's the one that gave you this. And said, this is my beloved son, who I will believe. Hear you.
Him.
Is anybody following me?
Yes.
When you trust him, when you trust him, he will make his life reflect through you. That is the light the world should see. Not you and your goodness. Jesus is that light that God said, let that light what? So shall. He becomes your light. He becomes your light because it's your life. Paul said, Christ, who is my life? He says, it's no longer I that what? Live. So I'm not living to impress you. It's Christ now that liveth in me. Everything I do by faith in him. I trust the eternal life he gave me. I trust the righteousness he gave me. I may not understand it all. But my job is to believe and trust in him. Then I will not be put to what?
Shame.
And because I trust in him, listen, I have this. I have this. I'm not hiding it. I don't even care your opinion. I care. And I go and say, Lord, this is what? An issue for me. He said, give it to me. What happens to his neck? He said, you know this burden. I took it on the cross for you. You didn't know it yet. So this is the scripture that shows you that I took your sins, your infirmities, your weaknesses. If you will let it, me have it by agreeing with me, that burden will be taken what?
Away.
I carried your sin. The burden of all that, your character issue, I carried it. I took it from you. So can you agree so that I can take it from you? So it's life lived by faith in him alone. And he becomes his guiding spirit by his Holy Spirit. He becomes everything to him. And as this is going on, by doing this, he pleases who? The Father. And reveals him to which model is correct? This one or the other
one?
Because he says, without me, you can do. And he knows it. So his focus is from on him. He is his strength. He is his everything. And he knows he is now joined to him and become one spirit. So he knows that this is all I have. This is me and him. No separation.
Amen.
Life flows from him to what?
To him.
And because it's his life flowing here, what you will see is his life. It's him. It's his life you will see. The fruit of the spirit. It's not works. 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 Church, it's not what? Works. It's fruit. Flows from the vine to the branch. And when you look, you see this here because it's flowing. And when you say, wow, this fruit is Jesus. They saw them and they said, they have been with who? Jesus. And they called them Christians. So your identity becomes him. Wherever you do things, people will think about Jesus immediately. They say, man, this guy really behaves like Jesus. That's how your light is now what?
Shine.
If you remove him, what light is this man showing? There's no light. Because this is the source. This is the light of the world. He is light because he's joined to the light. So why is he supposed to focus? So if you want to teach him what will help him, what will you teach him?
About
Does he carry anybody here? Eh? What is he doing? He's flourishing. Just like the branch flourishes, because the tree does the whole thing. But the branch flourishes, and the fruit is seen on the branch. Healing is seen there. Everything is seen there. But it's coming from who? From Jesus. That's when you have entered into
rest.
Thank you, God bless.
Very good.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.